Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara here is continuing to discuss the Seder HaMaracha that Abaye lays out, Aliba de Abba Shaul, and the Gemara is going piece by piece through that Seder HaMaracha of Abaye to understand why each item goes before the next. And here we're up to, on the second to last line, Ve'ivarim Lemincha. The Ivarim of the Olata Tamid go on the Mizbeach prior to the Minchat Nisachim that is with it. The Tanya, Minayin Shalohi Davar Kodim LaTamid Shel Shachar, how do we know that there's nothing that can go onto the pyre, onto the Maracha Gdolah before the Tamid Shel Shachar? Tamad Lomar, the Pasuk says, Varach Aleha Ola. It says that you will place on it Ha Ola, the Ola. Ba'amar Rava, and Rava says about that Ola, Ha Ola, with the Hei HaYidiyah, the Ola. What is the Ola? He Ola Rishona. That is the Ola Rishona. Now, as Tosafot discusses over here, what does that mean? The Ola Rishona, the first Ola. One possibility is in Parshat Pinchas. When it goes through all the different korbanot, the first korban that's mentioned there is the korban ha'atamid. So that is the Rishona. The other possibility is, as a machloket with regards to the korban ha'atamid that was brought in the midbar, as to whether that was the first Ola brought by Bnei Yisrael by Har Sinai. So the possibility is the first Ola brought by Bnei Yisrael was actually the Ola Tatamid. And that's what it means, Ola Rishona. But either way, Ola Rishona means Ha Ola Ha Rishona, that very first Ola, something that we know, Hei HaYidiyah, and that refers to the Tamid Shel Shachar. And from there we see, Varach Aleha Ha Ola. And you will put onto the pyre, onto the Maracha Gdolah, the Ola. Now, if it's simply to teach you that you have to put the Ola onto the Maracha Gdolah, or onto the Maracha Rishona, then just write, Varach Aleha. What is the Ha'ola come to teach you? That it tells you specifically that the Ha'ola has to be the first item on the pyre. Well, if it has to be the first item on the pyre, then the Evarim have to go on before the Mincha goes on to the pyre. And that's how we know that the Evarim of the Tamid will precede the Mincha Tamid, because it has to be the first item that goes on to the Maracha Gedola. Now, Tosafot discusses the issue of Ha'ola, Ola Rishona. From here, the Gemara learns that the Tamid Shoshachar has to go before all the other Karmanot. He says, why don't we learn it out from the Limud in the Gemara in Zvachim, which says, Milvad Olata Boker Ashele Olata Tamid. By the Korbanot there, it always mentions Milvad Olata Boker Ashele Olata Tamid, implying that all these Korbanot are after the Olata Tamid. From there, the Gemara learns out, Tadir Veinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So Tosafot wants to know, why do I need two Psukim to teach me the same information that the Tamid goes before the Musafim? So Tosafot at first says, there's a differentiation between Dam and Evarim, that the Pasuk over here is dealing with the Evarim, whereas the Pasuk over there is dealing with the Dam, and we have two different Limudim, one of each, to teach us that both the Dam and the Evarim of the Tamid will go before that of the Musafin. In addition to that, Tosafot then asks another question, which is that by the Musafim, it says Bayom, and by the Korban HaTamid, it says Boker, and based on our Gemara, Boker would come before Yom. If that's the case, then why do I need the Pasuk at all? So in the end, Tosafot says, he says, well, had it just been for the Pasuk of Milvad Olata Boker Shalata Tamid, I would have thought that the Dam HaTamid goes before the Dam HaMusafim. And then the Haktara, I would have done the Haktarata Musafim before I did the Haktarata Tamid. And that's why I have the second Pasuk, Ha'ola. Tell me that the Ola goes first by Haktara. So Ha'ola tells me don't set it up that way. But again, once I've done that, and I have Ola to tell me don't set it up that way, then why do I need the first Pasuk of Milvad Olata Boker Shel Olata Tamid? Now that I know that Tamid should go first. So Tosafot in the end concludes that the puzzle Milvad Olata Boker Shel Olata Tamid comes to teach us the principle of Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Not to teach us specifically by the Tamid, we don't need that information there. We first have the Pasuk of Ola, Ola Rishona. Number two is, by the Musafim it says Yom, and by the Korban HaTamid it says Boker, so for sure Korban Tamid will go before the Musafim. So why do you have the Pasuk of Milvad Olata Boker Shel Olata Tamid? To teach me the principle in Shas, that Tadir Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. That when I have an option to perform two mitzvot or two items, I opt for the Tadir before the Eino Tadir. u'mincha l'chavitin, and the minchat nisachim goes before the chavitin, because the pasuk says ola u'mincha. So the pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in the Parshat Moladot, says, Ele Moladei Hashem, Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh, Agriv Ishel Hashem, Ola U'mincha, Zevach U'nisachim Devar Yom B'Yomo. And so you see here that the Ola goes before the Mincha. So the Mincha is connected to the Ola. First of all, Ola goes before Mincha. Number two is that the Mincha is adjacent to the Ola. So the Minchat HaTamid is brought right after the Ola HaTamid. And the Minchat HaChavitin will not interrupt or interfere with the Ola going straight into the Mincha. V'Chavitin L'Nisachim. And the Minchat HaChavitin of the Kohen Gadol goes before the Nisachim, before the Niskayayin, the wine libations for the Korban HaTamid, because Shum Mincha, because once we're already involved in the Mincha, we're going to complete all the items that are like a Mincha, that are connected at least to the Korban HaTamid. So the Minchat Nisachim that goes along with the Korban Ola for sure goes first, because we have Ola U'Mincha, and then we have Zevach U'Nisachim, so we know that it goes before the Nisachim. On top of that, we know that it's adjacent to the Ola, so the Mincha goes first. And Tosva notes, you don't have to ask, why does the Mincha go before the Nisachim? Because it's clear from that Pasuk and Emor that it says, Ola Mincha, Zevachu Nisachim, that the Mincha clearly comes before the Nisachim. And since the Chavitin is a form of Mincha, and it's also connected to the Korban Ola, because the Pasuk by the Chavitin says, Vasivita Ifa, so the Mincha, Tamid. So there is this need to bring all the Menachot in proximity to the Korban HaOla. So therefore we bring the Evarim, then the Minchat HaTamid, and then afterwards the Chavitin. Then afterwards we do the Nisachim. Unisachim the Musafim. How come the Nisachim, the wine libations, go before the Musafim? That's because of the latter half of the Pasuk that we quoted before, which is, Ele Modei Hashem, Asher Tigru Otam, Mikrai Kodesh, Lakvi Vishel Hashem, Ola Mincha, Zevach Unisachim. So there is, again, an adjacency of the Nisachim to the Zevach, that the Nesach that comes with a Korban should be brought right after that Korban, and there should be no other Zevach that interrupts it. So therefore the Niska Yayin are connected to the Korban HaTamid. We shouldn't bring the Korbanei Musaf before the Nisachim. Musafim leVazichim. And the Musafim come before the Vazichim. Vatanyo. Don't we have a Braita that Vazichim could mean the Musafim? That's the other way around, that the Vazichim go before the Musafim. Mar says, Tanaehi. It's actually a Machloket Tanaim as to what is the right order here, whether Musaf goes first or Vazichim goes first. Amar Abaye. Obviously, Abaye took a position here in this Machloket Tanaim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. He says, Mistavra command Amar Musafim come in the Vazichim. Makes more sense according to one who says Musaf goes before the Vazichim. Lav mi amart. Didn't we say before, baboker, baboker, when the Torah uses the term boker, it means in the morning. Baboker, baboker means early in the morning. Lakdim, to tell you to be even before something that only has the word boker mentioned once. Well, similarly, hachanami, bayom, bayom, leacher. The word bayom, instead of boker, tells you to go later rather than earlier. And since by the bazichim of the lechem hapanim, it mentions the word Bayom twice, which is Bayom HaShabbat, Erechenu Lifnei Hashem Tamid, Me'et Mnei Yisrael Brit Olam. So the word Bayom, Bayom is mentioned twice by the Lechem HaPanim, and the Bazichim are connected to the Lechem HaPanim, and so because of that, we want to push it back or far back as possible. As Rashi says, the word Hayom means Be'ur Itzum Hayom, or Itzumo Shel Yom, at the peak or the brightness of the day, meaning way, way later in the morning. If that's the case, then we will push the Bazichim back as far as possible, and that's why the Musafim will go before the Bazichim, and that is the conclusion of Abaye, that the Musafim will go before the Bazichim. My time and Daman Damar Bazichim could mean the Musafim. What's the reason behind the position that says that Bazichim should go before the Musafim? Gamar Chuka Chuka Mechavitim. He has a Gzereshava. The word Chok is mentioned by the Lechem HaPanim. Because it says, "Vayom Hashabbat, Yom Hashabbat, Erchenu Lifnei Hashem Tamid, Meit Bnei Yisrael Brit Olam, Vaital Aron Uvanav, Vachalua Bemakom Kadosh, Ki Kodesh Kodeshim Hu Lo, Mishe Hashem, Chak Olam." So the word Chok is used here by the Lechem HaPanim, and the word Chok is also mentioned by the Minchat Chavitin, because over there it says, "Chak Olam, Hashem Kalil Taktar." So the word chok is used in both of these instances, and he says a gezeira shava between the two of them. And we actually learn out other items from this gezeira shava. But that gezeira shava also tells me that the bazichim get upgraded. They are like a mincha, like the mincha ta'chavitim. And that brings them before the karbanei musaf. So Gemara says, im hatam gamar. Well, if you're learning it from there, then why don't you bring it all the way up? If it has a connection to the Minchat Chavitim, why don't you back up the Bazichim so they are right after the Minchat Chavitim? You have Minchat Chavitim, then you'll have the Bazichim, and then you'll move on to the Nisachim, and then the Musafim. Why are you only moving it before the Musafim and not before the Nisachim? Mar says, V'hachi Ahani. Now that's why it says, Bayom Bayom La'acher. It does say by the Lechem Apanim, Bayom, Bayom, and we say Bayom, Bayom teaches you to delay it or to push it back. So the Gezeira Shava tells you to move it up, and the Bayom, Bayom says to push it back. So what do? I take the Bazichim, which should otherwise have been all the way at the end because of Bayom, Bayom, and I move it up one item in the list. So I move it up before the Musafim. Had I just had the Gezeira Shava, in Ochanami, I would have moved it all the way up to the Minchat Chavitin and had it come out before the Nisachim. But now that I have both items, I have both the Gezeira Shava as well as the Bayom Bayom. So I have tension here. I have one side telling me to make it later, one side to make it earlier. So therefore I put it in between. I put it not all the way back with the Minchat Chavitim, but not all the way after the Musafim. I put it between the Nisachim and the Musafim. And that's the reason behind the one who says that the Bazichim go for the Musafim. So now the Gemara continues with a quote from our Mishnah. Torah Shel Shachar Aitak Reva Ben Dam Levarim. The Torah of Shachar was brought between the Dam to the Evarim. Mani, who's the author of this position? We know we have two different positions over here. One is the position of Abba Shaul, and one is the position of the Rabbanan. Now, according to Abba Shaul, the way it worked here was that you had the Hatavat 5 Aneirot, you had the Damatamit, then Hatavat 2 Aneirot, then the Ketoret, then the Evarim. That's Abba Shaul's opinion. The Chachamim's position is that first you have the Damatamit, then you have the Hatavat Hei Aneirot, then you have the Ketoret, then you have the Hatavat 2 Aneirot, and then you have the Evarim. So over here our Mishnah says that the Ketoret is sitting between the Dam and the Evarim. Well, according to whom is that true? Because if you say it according to Abba Shaul, Abba Shaul says Dama Tamid, Hatavat Shtei Neirot, Ketoret, and then Evarim. So it's not sitting between the Dam and the Evarim, in a big picture it is, but there's also the Hatavat Shtei Neirot that comes before the Ketoret. So it really sits between Hatavat Shtei Neirot and the Evarim. According to the Chachamim, between the Dam and Evarim, you have the Hatavat 5 of the Neirot, the Ketoret, and Hatavat Shtei Neirot. The Ketoret really sits between the two pieces of the Neirot. Yeah, it also sits between the Dam and the Evarim, but that's not what's directly before it or directly after it. So that's what the Gemara asks. Mani, Irabonon, if it's Rabbanan ben Dam le Neirot mi baile. It should really be between the Dam and the end of the process of the Neirot. Your Dam, 5 Neirot, Ketoret, and then Shtei Neirot. So it's really between the Dam and the finishing of the Neirot. Abba Shaul, if Abba Shaul is the author of Mishnah, Ben Neirot, the Evarim, Bibayle. He has the 5 Neirot, Dama Tamid, Shtei Neirot, and then he has the Ketoret and then the Evarim. So it's really after he's finished all the Neirot, and before the Evarim is the Ketoret. So what should be the bookends for it are the Neirot and the Evarim, not Dam and the Evarim. Mar says, Olam Rabbanon hi. It's really the Rabbanon here. Ubesidra loka mairi. But it's not dealing with the order. It's not particular about the order. So as Tosafot points out, the Gemara just as easily said, it's Abba Shaul, and we're just not worried about the order. So either because we'd rather set it up like the Rabbanon than Abba Shaul, because they are the majority. So that's why the Gemara picked the Rabbanon. Or maybe because we already established that the Mishnah earlier does not fit according to Abba Shaul. So therefore the Gemara doesn't go out of its way over here to establish that it's Abba Shaul. Because otherwise then you'd have some of the Mishnayot like the Rabbanon and some of the Mishnayot like Abba Shaul. And therefore they keep it consistent by saying it's really the Rabbanon and we're not dealing with the order over here. Now the Gemara continues with the next piece in the Mishnah. In the afternoon, Ketoret was brought between the Evarim and the Nisachim. How do you know that it's different in the afternoon? Or how do you know where the placement is in the afternoon? The Pasuk says, so it's like the Minchata Boker and it's Nesach, that's what you do. Ma minchata boker ketoret kedemet l'nisachim. Just like by the minchata boker, the ketoret comes before the nisachim. Afkan, so too in the afternoon, the ketoret goes before the nisachim. So that's why it's bein evarim l'nisachim. It goes before the nisachim, just like in the morning it goes before the nisachim. Where it says, imal halan ketoret kodemet l'evarim. Well then, why don't you look at what it looks like in shacharit? Just like in shacharit, the ketoret goes before the evarim. Afkan ketoret l'mechamet l'evarim. Then why not at mincha time, don't you say, that the ketoret should go before the evarim? Why are you saying that it's after the evarim, but before the nisachim? Where it says, miktiv kevarei haboker. Doesn't say like the evarim of the boker. It says, keminchat haboker ktiv. It's like the minchata the boker. Minchata boker, velo gevere a boker, means like the minchata boker, but not like the evarim of the boker. So in the boker, the evarim come after the ketoret. But ben arbayim, the evarim don't play a role. They're going to go before the ketoret, because it's not compared to the tamid shel shachar in that category. On the other hand, with regards to nisachim, it does have a comparison, and therefore, when it comes to the ketoret in the afternoon, it'll go before the nisachim. And so that's why it's after the Evarim, but before the Nisachim. Before Nisachim, because it specifically compares it to the Tamid Shel Shachar. After the Evarim, because it specifically mentions Kiminchat HaBoker, and not Evarei HaBoker. And so therefore in the morning, the Ketoret will go before the Evarim and the Nisachim. In the afternoon, the Ketoret will go between the Evarim and the Nisachim. Tan Rabbanan, V'nisko Revi'it Hayin, Yomot Shel Shachar Yimei Shel Arvit. We'll learn the morning one from the evening one. That is based on the pasuk which says, "Et hakeves echad taseh b'boker, v'et hakeves hasheni taseh ben arbaim." Those are the two korbanei olah, the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel ben arbaim. V'asivita ifas solu mincha b'lo b'shemen katit revitahin. That's the mincha ta tamid. Olah tamid hasuya b'har sirai d'reach nichoch l'Hashem. And then we follow up with nisuch hayayim, which is nisko revitahin hakeves ha'echad b'kodesh hasech nisuch shechar l'Hashem. So the nisko revitahin, what is that referencing in the pasuk? So the Tanakhama of the Brita says, Yomot Shel Shachrit Mishel Arvit, that the Nisko Revitahin is referencing back to the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and from the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim we'll learn the Tamid Shel Shachar. On the other hand, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Arvit Mishel Shacharit, the other way around. That will assume that the Nisko Revitahin is referencing the Tamid Shel Shachar, and from the Tamid Shel Shachar that it has a Nesach of Yain. So too, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim also have an Esach of Yain. The Gemara says, Bishlam Adar Rabbonon, Ber Banan, I understand their position. Hai B'Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim Ktiv. This is written by the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Because the Pasuk says that the Keves Achad Taseh B'Boker, the Keves Hashnit Taseh Ben Arbaim. That's the last thing that we left off with. So Nisko Revitahin must be referencing back to that last item, which is the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So that's how we know that there's Nesach Yain by the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. And through the Hekesh, we'll also say that Tamid Shel Shachar also gets Nesech of Yayin. El Rabbi, my time. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi's position? Amar Rabbi Barul, Amar Korah, Pasuk says, Lakeves Ha'echad. It says, V'nisko Revitahin, Lakeves Ha'echad. The Nesech Ha'yayin goes for the Keves Ha'echad. Elizu Keves Shinem Rabo Echad, which is the Korban Tamid that has the word Echad used by it, that we already had before, which is, Et Hakeves Echad Taseh B'Boker, Et Hakeves Ha'sheni Taseh Ben Harbayim. So the Keves Echad is in the morning. Echad refers to the Tamid Shel Shachar, and therefore the Nisko Revitahin references the Tamid Shel Shachar. Rabbanon Mai Echad. What do the Rabbanon do with that word Echad? Miuchad Shebe'edrol. He has to pick the best of his flock for Rabbi. Where does Rabbi learn that out from? He learns it out from Umemivchar Nidrechem Nafko. That you have to bring the best for your Nidavot. The Rabbanon said we need two psukim. Chad Bechuva, one for obligatory Karbanot. There you have to bring the best. And v'chad bin nedava. And one of them by nedava to teach you have to bring, even your nedavot have to come from the best of your flocks. So therefore I have two limudim to tell you have to bring the best, v'tzrichei. That's why I need both of them. And therefore, echad is not available to teach me that the nesach hayayin is associated with the tamid shel shachar. And the last item that we mentioned was the tamid shel ben arbaim. And therefore, nesach hayayin will be connected to the tamid shel ben arbaim. And from that, we will extrapolate that the tamid shel shachar also requires one. On the other hand, Rabbi will say the word Echad comes to teach you that the Nesach Hayayin is connected to the Tamid Shel Shachar. And from the Tamid Shel Shachar, we'll extrapolate to the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim that also has Nesach Hayayin. As Tosafot points out, there's no Nafkamina. In the end, they both require Nesach Hayayin. So Tosafot says there is one Nafkamina if you only have enough money to buy one Nesach of Yayin. Which would we give precedence to? Which one of the Korbanei Tamid Shel Shachar or Shel Ben Arbaim would we give precedence to? So according to Rabbi, we'd give precedence to the Tamid Shel Shachar. Because according to the Chachamim or the Tanakhama, we would give precedence to the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. Now the Gemara continues with the last piece of the Mishnah. If he was elderly or very particular, they used to warm up the water from him in the mikveh. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, how did they do this? Ashishiyot shel barzel. They took rods of iron of metal. Hayu mechamim be'erev Yom Kippurim. They used to heat them up before Yom Kippur. Umatilin etoch tzonein. And then on Yom Kippur, they used to throw them into the cold water. Hideisha tafig tzinatam. To take away the coldness, to warm up the water. Mar says, v'alo mitzaref. Wait a minute, isn't this a malocha on Shabbat? And it would also be a problem on Yom Kippurim, which is that if you take metal that's been heated up so hot and then you put it into cold water, it strengthens it. That's how blacksmiths work. They heat it up, they hit it, they form it, and then they dip it into cold water to harden the metal. So isn't that what you're doing? You're forming the metal into a harder metal on Yom Kippur, and that's a melacha, because you're strengthening and forming the kli here. Amar Bibi, shelo yigia letziruf. But Bibi says it didn't reach the heat level that it was ra'oy letziruf. They didn't heat it up enough that it was softened to the point where the cold water would help to harden it. Abaye Amar afilu teima shegi letziruf. He says, nah, even if it reaches that point that it's so hot that it's ra'oy when you put it into the water, it will cause hardening because it's davar she'eino mikaveh and it's mutar. You're not intending over here to harden the metal. The reason you want the metal to be hot is to take away the coldness of the water. You don't care that the metal also became hard there, and therefore it's a dovar she'eno mitkavein. Mar says, Umi amar Abaye hochi, then Abaye really subscribe to this position. V'hatanya, don't we have a braita that says besar or loto? When it comes to doing the milah, it says imol besar or loto. He does the milah on the basar yaloto. The word basar is extraneous. And we learn from that that it references the basar of a nega. That even if you have a nega on the basar, if you go to do the milah, it's okay to take off the baharet, take off the nega. Even though there's a restriction against taking off the baharet. Nevertheless, here it's permissible. Feel makom sheish baharet yikotz, divrei Rabbi Yushaya. Gemara says, avinan ba, and we ask the question over here, v'avinan ba krol omali. What do I need a pasuk for? Because it's a davar she'eno mitkaveh. A davar she'eno mitkaveh is mutar. What's Abaye's answer? B'amar Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda. We need a grant to Yehuda. D'amar davar she'eno mitkaveh asur. Rabbi Shimon is the Tana with the opinion of davar she'eno mitkaveh is mutar. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that davar she'eno mitkaveh is asur. And since he believes it's asur, he doesn't have the heter because of davar she'eno mitkaveh. He needs the pasuk to be matirit. But by the fact that Abaye says that a pasuk in the Torah is coming to explain the position of Rabbi Yehuda, means that he subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, then he believes davar she'eno mitkaveh is asur. And he's answering over here, our Mishnah is saying davar she'eno mitkaveh is mutar. Doesn't seem to be right. Mar says, hani milei b'chol ha-Torah kula. Where that's in the rest of the Torah. That's where he says davar she'eno mitkaveh is asur. Avahocha, over here we're talking about tziruf dirabbanan hu. Over here we're talking about only an isur dirabbanan. And since it's an isur dirabbanan, therefore, davar she'eno mitkaveh is mutar. Now, the Gemaras, before Rashi got to them, had an additional part to the Girsa, which is, v'ein shvut b'migdash. And there's no din of shvut in the migdash, which means that we waive dini derabbanan in the migdash. So even though there's nisu derabbanan over here, we waive it. That was what the Girsa was. Rashi took that out of the Girsa out, because he says, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's shvut b'migdash, but rather that it's a davar she'eno mitkaveh. Davar she'eno mitkaveh de'oraita is asur. Davar she'eno mitkaveh in a din derabbanan is mutar. It has nothing to do with shvut in the mikdash. That would be true even outside of the mikdash. And therefore Rashi took it out of the girsa. Tosafot disagrees and says that why is Rashi erasing all the sfarim? We should keep this girsa in. And therefore you see here there's a tremendous Tosafot that takes up the entirety of this amud and the entirety of the next amud discussing this issue, the issue of davar she'eno mitkaveh, the issue of Pasuk Reishe. There's a very fundamental Tosafot in these issues.
So therefore, Tosafot reads the Gemara here slightly differently and says, what is the conclusion of the Gemara? That Abaye does hold of Rabbi Yehuda's position that davar she'eno mitkaveh is asur. But that only applies b'chol ha-Torah kula. That's everywhere else in the Torah, chutz mi-Shabbat. Because by Shabbat, you have an additional dimension of melechet machshevet, where you have to have intent for the melacha,
It's a higher standard in terms of violating any sur. And so when it comes to davar she'eino mitkaven b'chol ha'Torah kula, even if you were not mitkaven for it, we make it as if it was mitkaven, and it is a sur, the Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, by dinei Shabbat, davar she'eino mitkaven, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, will be only asur midrabanan. Because min ha'Torah does not qualify as melechet machshevet, and therefore it's downgraded to a din dirabanan. Tosafot then brings numerous places where we have that Rabbi Yehuda says davar she'eino mitkaven is asur midoraita by Shabbat. He says that's only in instances where it is a pasuk reshe. That's when davar she'eino mitkaven will be asur midoraita according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the answer to our question over here is yes, by soverik Rabbi Yehuda, that davar she'eino mitkaven is asur, but over here it's Shabbat, it's Yom HaKippurim, and therefore melechet machshevet applies, and we've downgraded only to a din derabanan. And then that last line that Rashi takes out of the Gemara, which is ein shvut b'mikdash. Since there's no shvut b'mikdash, davar she'eino mitkaven, it's only a din derabanan, we do not apply it, we do not uphold it in the mikdash, and we allow them to put in the metal rods into the mikveh. And that's how the Gemara will conclude. Tosafot then moves into another discussion, which is a very fundamental discussion, which is, what do we do with cases where there is pasik reshe, like over here? It seems to me that tziruf ha-barzel here is pasik reshe. If you put it into the water, it's definitely tziruf. And if that's the case, then why does Rabbi Yehuda not think you're chayab de'oraita over here? So Tosafot gives one answer, that maybe the tziruf is not a pasik reshe over here. Or maybe because it's not a kli, the barzel over here, it's not really a problem de'oraita. But then he introduces the position of the Aruch. The position of the Aruch is something called psig reshe de lo nechale. When you have a case where it's a psig reshe, it's an automatic outcome of the action that you're taking, and normally Rabbi Yehuda will say you're chayav. The Aruch says if it's de lo nechale, if you're not interested in the outcome, or even the outcome is detrimental, then we do not say psig reshe, and it's mutar lehachat chilo. By davar she'eino mitkaven, even if it's a psig reshe, if it's de lo nechale, then it's mutar lachat chila. Tosafot over here goes through one by one the rayot of the Aruch and tries to dismantle them. And Tosafot himself believes that a pasuk reshe delo nechale is really chayav midrabanan. It's the equivalent of melacha she'ein tzricha legufa, and therefore it would be chayav midrabanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, chayav mideoraita. And that is why many places when we have pasuk reshe delo nechale, we still say that you are chayav midrabanan for Rabbi Shimon and midoraita for Rabbi Yehuda. But he disagrees with the Aruch's premise that pasuk reshe lo nechale is mutar lechatchila. Because if that was the case, then the Aruch can explain the Gemara here about tziruf, which is, yes, it's a pasuk reshe that you're going to harden the metal, but the lo nechale, he's not interested in hardening the metal. He has no interest in that at all. He just wants to warm up the water. So for the Aruch, this is an easy explanation, this Gemara, the way that Tosafot is reading it. Tosafot himself has to either say that it's not a pasuk reshe over here, or the fact that you're forming the metal and hardening it, but it's not a kli, makes it that it's not a din deoraita. But he has to use another reason, because he believes pasuk reshe l'dinon lechonale, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is chayav mi deoraita, because it's melacha she'en tzricha legufa. And by melacha she'en tzricha legufa, we have a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says chayav mi deoraita there, and Rabbi Shimon says patur aval asur, it's chayav mi derabanan. But once we've dropped it down to a derabanan, then we enter the last line of the Gemara that Rashi erased and says, ein shvut b'mikdash. Since there's no shvut in the mikdash, we do not apply it, and we allow them to do this for the benefit of the Kohen Gadol. The next mission begins. Evio the Beit HaParva. They brought him to the Beit HaParva. This is for his second time that he's going to the mikveh, Beit HaParva, because this is b'makom kadosh. Ubekodesh haita. And it was in the Kodesh, as we described before, it's above the three lishkot on the southern side. And that it was Kodesh. Arsu Sadin Shobutz Benod Ben-Am. They put up a barrier of linen between him and the Am. Question as to why they needed this. Was it because the mikveh was open and they needed to block it to give him tzniut? Or was it because of the necessity that he had to wash his hands on the kior? And we said before, at least going to Rabbi Meir, you'd have to take off his clothes first. Or he had to move back and forth from the kior to the mikveh. So they put this up for tzniut. But for whatever reason, they needed the sadin to give tzniut to the kohen. So then, kidesh yadav raglav, he washes by the kior, upashat, and then he removes his clothing. Rabbi Meir says the other way around, pashat,
First he takes off his clothing, and then Kidesh Yadav Regalav has a machloka Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim that we saw before. Yarad. Then he goes Vitaval, he goes down into the mikveh and does his tefillah. Allah, he comes up, Vinistapeg, and then he dries off. Now, why the Mishnah tells you that he dried off? Is it just telling you Orachara? That's just the way the people are when they come up from the mikveh, they dry off. Said before, he puts on a towel robe to dry himself off. Or is there an obligation to dry himself off? And that might have to do with the din of Big Day Kehuna. That there can be nothing that's mafsik between the Big Day Kehuna and the Kohen. And if there's water on his body, there would be a hefsek. So therefore, we demand that he dries himself off, so there is no hefsek between him and the Big Day Kehuna. If he alo Big Day Lavan, now he puts on the Big Day Lavan, because now he's about to embark on the Avodah Tayom HaKippurim. If you have a big levan, lavash, he put them on, v'kideish yadav regalav, and then he washes his hands and his feet. That's according to everyone, that he does it after he put the clothing on. V'shachar yadavesh pilusin. In the morning, he used to wear these big day lavan, these big day pishtan from the place called pilusin. The Bach says that the Targum Yushalmi of Ramses is pilusa, and that's where they were from. They were from Ramses. Shoshnei masar maneh. They were worth 1,200 zuz. Ben Arbaim. The big day lavan that you wore in the afternoon, the second time you put on the big day lavan to go in to take out the kaf and the machta, those were hindoin, or according to Tosafot, they are hindvin. And as Rashi says over here, he eretz kush, that is the area of kush, like the Targum Yom Tenu Uzel says, hayafok kushi oro hindvoa. So there's a connection between kush and hindvoa. There's a possibility that it's also from the word hindu or hindua, that it might refer to India, and not necessarily to Kush. So he's show Shmona Meot Zuz. And that was made out of 800 Zuz. It wasn't as high a quality. It was 1,200 for the morning, which is the main Avodat Yom Kippurim. And 800 for the afternoon, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. In the morning, he used to wear big day pishtan that were worth 1,800 Zuz. Ben Arbaim Shosh Shnema Sarmaneh. In the afternoon, it was worth 1,200 Zuz. So they both agree that the big day Levan in the afternoon are worth less than the ones in the morning. Just a question of how much the ones in the morning were worth and how much in the afternoon. Hakol, in total, according to the Chachamim, is 30 maneh, is 3,000 zuz, which is the 1,200 plus the 1,800. Elu mishel tzibur. These were funded by the tzibur. Pimratza l'usif, musif shelo. But if the Kohen Gadol personally wanted to add in more money and to make them even nicer or more expensive, that was up to him. He could contribute his own personal money in order to do that, but the tzibur wouldn't pay for that upgrade. The tzibur only paid up to 3,000 zuz, split between the 1,800 and the 1,200 of the two sets of bigadim. And with that, they discharged their obligation to take care of the big day levan of the Kohen Gadol. If he personally wanted to upgrade them, then he could do that. Okay, we'll stop over here.